Life can always use more Cedar Point. And right now, you can get more Cedar Point for less with the Fun Day Bundle for just $74.99. Each bundle gets you admission, parking, and all-day dining for one low price. That means more coasters like Steel Vengeance and more nostalgic fun in the boardwalk area. But you better hurry because this bundle won't last. Save now at cedarpoint.com.
Welcome to the Viking Age Podcast. This is the official podcast of thevikingage.com. My name is Chris Shad, writer for the Viking Age Zone Coverage, Bring Me the News, and the Brookings Register. My co-host is Adam Patrick, who is the managing editor of the Viking Age. We do this every Monday with a late week episode right here on the Viking Age YouTube channel. We're in podcast form on Apple and Spotify the very next day. But however you consume us, make sure you rate, comment, like, and subscribe, so you never miss a new episode and we can spread the word to the masses. I'm just going to get right to it. I'm sure most of you watching saw the news over the weekend. Minnesota Vikings fourth round rookie Kyree Jackson was killed in a car crash over the weekend. According to Maryland State Police, Jackson, Isaiah Hazel, and Anthony, I apologize if I'm butchering this name, Litton Jr. Were pronounced dead after their Dodge Charger was run off the road at 3:14 a.m. in Upper Marlboro, Maryland. The driver, Corey Klingman, who was traveling northbound on Route 4 / Pennsylvania Avenue, attempted to change lanes while driving at a high rate of speed when she struck the Charger and sent it off into the roadway where it hit multiple tree stumps. No one in Klingman's vehicle was hurt. Investigators believe alcohol may have been a contributing circumstance in the crash, and the crash is still under investigation. Adam, I'm not sure how to throw this to you because usually it's just like, well, what do you think? This is just a really tough situation all around, and not something anyone, you know, thinks about or wants to deal with.
There's really no right way to really, react to it, but I know there's a wrong way. There's a couple of people that have already done that, that we've seen, but it's not good. I've got two kids, and like once you have a kid, your whole purpose in life, I feel like, shifts to like just protecting them and making sure they're safe and everything. And I know eventually I'll have to grow up and like, well, they'll grow up and I'll have to like just trust that they'll be okay. And so the parents of these three people that passed away, they felt that they were like, they're adults now pretty much, and they'll be fine. They'll be safe. And instead, because of, a poor decision that was apparently made by, you know, the person driving next to them, now, those parents have to, you know, have a funeral for their kids, which is something you never, ever, ever want to do, as a parent. And, I just feel super sorry for the families of these three people and their friends. I couldn't imagine what they're going through to get that call from police, to look at the photos of the scene, which is just terrible. The whole thing is awful. And, it's tough. Like, we don't know. We've never met Kyree Jackson or anything. We don't know the kid. All we know is just stories, from people that cover the team that are closer than we are, and videos of everything. And from everything that's been written and covered about him, he was on the right track. Like, he had some things go on early in his life, you know, maybe some hiccups, but he was on the right track. He got drafted by the Vikings. It sounded like he, you know, potentially could have got some playing time next season. And now that's gone in just like, you know, a few seconds. And it's crazy. It's devastating. And it's going to affect the team this year. And I don't think it really matters, because I think this is something that kind of puts things in perspective and makes you realize that, you know, no one can tell the future, and we don't, as much as you think you can keep yourself safe or whatever. You just really don't know what's going to happen next. Something like this puts, as grim as it is, it puts life in perspective and kind of like just makes you step back a little bit and realize that, you know, maybe some of the problems that we have that we think are big, like, just, they don't even you know, they don't even compare to something like this.
You know, I got the text from you. That's how I heard the news on Saturday morning. And I was working a shift at Bring Me the News. And normally, you know, you try and get it out quick so Google picks it up or whatever. I froze. I could barely write the article because I don't know how to explain it. Obviously, there's a lot of sadness that comes with this. You know, I think the one thing that has stood out in my head, and our friend of the show, Matthew Collar, mentioned this when he was talking about it on a live stream Saturday morning. You know, Kyrie Jackson's story was unique, but it was also very relatable because he's 19 years old. Went out to a community college, played football, got homesick, moved home. And at that point, he didn't know what he was going to do with his life. He was just kind of winging it. He worked at a Chipotle. He worked at a Harris Teeter, like his introductory press conference. He was like, yeah, I got employee of the month. And I was like slicing ham and stuff. And he was going to be a 2K professional gamer because he played a whole bunch of 2K and that stuff. And then, you know, eventually his love for football came back. He enrolled in two community colleges. He wound up going to Alabama, which, you know, that just getting there is a major accomplishment. And then he transfers to Oregon. He becomes a legitimate NFL prospect, 6'4", 6'3", maybe 6'3", but, you know, has unique size. Brian Flores was really excited about adding him to this defense, and he was going to be one of the more unique players that we were going to see at training camp. But, you know, just his story just kind of resonated with me because I think a lot of us have a moment in life where we don't know what we want to do. Like for me, it was, you know, moving back home at one point and, you know, working at a Menards and then getting out of there. And like, I don't know, like this writing thing's not working out. I'm going to go work at a bank. I'm going to go, you know, I'm going to stock a cooler at Quick Trip, you know, and I mean, there were things along the way, but like, even just a couple of years ago, if you go back and look at this podcast, I was on the podcast, I was writing up a storm. I had no idea what I wanted to do. I was doing marketing interviews and like to have that perseverance that Kyrie Jackson did when he was in that moment, you know, in his late 20s, transfer to community college, have a season canceled because of the COVID-19 pandemic, you know, keep working, keep fighting and never giving up. And like getting to that moment where, you know, pardon, this might be a pun to like, you know, because we do wrestling reference, finish his story. Like, I think that's why, you know, that was such a popular storyline or among wrestling fans, because like finishing a story and finishing what you set out to do and everything else. And I think everybody was really excited for Kyrie Jackson to get that opportunity in training camp and maybe even make the team and, you know, turn into a valid part of this defense. And it's wiped away by a reckless act, whether alcohol was involved. You know, if the police say that, I assume it was. You know, they just don't say that, you know, we think alcohol. No, usually they have a good idea. I don't know. It sucks. Yeah. It leaves a big hole in your gut.
Yeah, for sure. You mentioned like, you know, freezing when it came up, and I kind of was that way too, because I didn't want to like, this is our job to cover the team, but we don't sign up to cover stuff like this. We know it can happen, but it's not why we do this. But it's part of the job. And like Saturday when it happened, and I wrote the thing, like I was off. I was supposed to be off, but I was like, I need to write this. And it's one of those things where like, you know, we're in our job, especially in this day and age, you're taught to like, you know, put in links for like, click this story next so you can read more and all that stuff. I didn't want to do any of that because I didn't want to, I felt like I would be like exploiting someone's death for like my own benefit or for the site's benefit or anything like that. And I didn't want to come across that way. And so yesterday I told Adam Carlson, who watches the site when I'm off, I was like, I don't want to post anything at all today. I don't want to do anything. I don't want to come across. I don't want to even give the site a chance to come across as disrespectful, like to just like put it on the back burner, because it's not. This is important. And I don't want people to think like, oh, we're just pushing to the side and being like, oh, all right, now we got to focus on, you know, who's going to make the team and then the running back room. Like, no, like this is important. And it needs to stay at the forefront. I know there's other stuff going on in the Vikings world and we wrote about it and stuff too, but this is still important. And I don't want people to think like we're not thinking that it's unimportant. So Yeah, it's just and I don't think, you know, as long as I've been covering the team and you've been covering the team, there was the death of Tony Sperano in 2018. But I don't think we either one of us have ever really covered the team when something like this has happened. I know Corey Stringer happened in 2001. That was before our time, not before our time, but like before, right? We covered the team. So we didn't really know what to expect. So this is something that's kind of new to us and everyone who covers the team now, unless you've already been in it. It's just, it's different. And I just feel like it needs to be made important, you know, regardless of what else is going on in Vikings world. Luckily, it's the summer. Nothing else is really going on, but still at the same time, even if it was during the season, I'd want it to remain just as important just because it is. Even, you know, it's somebody, three people lost their life, and that needs to be focused on.
And before we go any further, I just want to apologize to the YouTube audience. I got a text, so I was trying to turn my phone on Do Not Disturb. I had forgot to do that before the episode started, and then of course the graphic that just came on the screen, I did not mean to have a question mark at the end, so I just want to clear that out in case anybody saw that and was like, just want to point that out. I don't know, I don't really have too much else to say. I mean, we're not going to sit here and be like, you know, the Vikings need, what corner are they going to sign? Who cares? Like, who cares right
now? No, yeah, it's not important.
Like, when they sign a corner, that's fine. And they'll rely on their cornerback depth.
Yeah.
I know there was a piece that came out from a publication this weekend. I mean, I could sit here. I could get angry about, you know, people on social media. I could get people. It just doesn't matter. It really doesn't.
It's the whole life and perspective thing. Like, it's what this does. It's like, yeah, those people are dumb, but this, something like this or whatever else, just, it tells you that stuff like that doesn't matter. Like, it really doesn't. It's just there to make you angry for no other reason, to get your eyes or engagement or whatever. There's no other purpose for it, but like, that stuff you just ignore and focus on what's important. And right now, that's the Vikings, and I think their locker room. I'm happy that Kevin O'Connell is their coach. I think not to say that like he's the perfect person for this, but I feel like those players inside that locker room can feel comfortable with, you know, going up to him and being like, hey, I can't do this today. You know, I'm still hurting about Kyrie or whatever. I think he's the right person to handle this. So I think the Vikings are in good hands in that case, and with Kwesi as well. And with just the Vikings organization in general. I think they're very capable of handling something like this. It's something they don't want to handle, but I feel like the players inside the locker room are in great hands with the team that they're with right now.
Yeah. You know, we are going to move on here. We're going to change subjects. We're trying to be as respectful as possible, but
yeah,
at the same time, you know, I listened to The Audible with Cecil Lammy and Sigmund Bloom, and I can't remember if it was episode on the couch. If you haven't heard of it, you should check it out because it's one of my favorite fantasy football podcasts. It's not the top five running backs. Number one, Ty Chandler. Go get Ty Chandler in the first round. But one of the things that Cecil Lammy said that he learned growing up, and it was a father, you know, a mentor or something that I'd always said, whatever you do, end on a good one. And I think that, you know, like when the news broke on Saturday, I'm like, this podcast is 20 minutes. I don't give a shit. Like, it's just a very tough subject to talk about, but we are here to entertain. We will do our best, and, you know, we'll wrap things up, and maybe, I don't know, maybe next week we'll dive into training camp or something else. But yeah, I mean, it's a very sad situation, and I just hope everyone, you know, I sent some texts to people just making sure they were okay with this news. It's very tough.
It's tough. Yeah. And like I said, we don't even know him, but you know, we cover this team. We enjoy this team. You know, some people don't understand like the passion that some people have. So something like this is just heartbreaking for everybody, even people who've never met Kyrie Jackson, because they love this team so much, and they never want anything like this to happen to someone who's associated with the team. And even the two other people that passed, nobody ever wants that to happen.
So moving along, this is probably one of the reasons it's not official yet and they haven't announced anything, but it looks like Cam Akers is going to be coming back to the Vikings. The Vikings are reportedly, it actually showed up on the transaction log over the weekend. There's a damn good reason why they have not announced it, but yeah. Cam Akers, he's been working out at the facility. I think next the training house that Alex Boone runs, actually he's been working out over there, but you know, Cam Akers back. What do you think?
Oh, I think it's good. I think he wanted to stay with the Vikings. There was, you know, he stayed behind in Minnesota to rehab. I think Darren Wilson reported that he's just been hanging out in Minnesota because he wants to re-sign with the Vikings, because he likes Kevin O'Connell and he knows the system. I don't know if there's much to expect. I don't know if he's a guaranteed lock for the team. I think the Vikings, obviously Aaron Jones and Todd Chandler are at the top of that depth chart. But after that, you know, you really don't know. And it could be Cam Akers as, you know, RB3 or 4. Because, you know, as much as people believe the new kickoff rules are saving Kane Wongwu, the Vikings could decide they want Brandon Powell to be their kickoff returner or somebody else. And then, you know, you got Dwayne McBride, who, you know, we don't really know a lot about. We don't know if he's really improved since last year when he was on the practice squad. And he was drafted in the 7th round for a reason. So, you know, I think RB3 is probably his ceiling if he truly is back. But I wouldn't be surprised if he didn't make it because he tore his Achilles twice. It's the second time he tore his Achilles. Hmm. You know, so that's a risk too. I'm sure he's not signing for a big money deal or whatever. And I'm sure there's incentives or whatever. But he's just trying to continue his football career. And I liked what I saw from him, at least when he was getting touches last year. I think, what was it, the Packers game? Packers or Bears? Packers. It was either Packers or Bears when he had a rushing touchdown. I think he was the first Viking to get a rushing touchdown last year because Alexander Mattison did not get any. But yeah, I think it's a good. He's a solid veteran. He knows how to be a pro and all that stuff. So I think it's a good fit if he can stay healthy.
The Vikings running back position has been one that I've been kind of leery about. I know they signed Aaron Jones. Aaron Jones also missed a handful of games with injuries last year. Right. So, I mean, realistically, you're looking at about 12 or 13 games with Aaron Jones, and anything else you get that's more, that's gravy. Ty Chandler, people know how I feel about Ty Chandler, to quote Kevin O'Connell. He's fast. Mm-hmm. That's it to me. He's fast. There was a nice stat thrown out by the Purple Persuasion last weekend where Ty Chandler was towards the bottom in missed tackles and something else. Like, I don't know. He's got straight line speed and that's about it. Can't pass block. Yeah, I mean, they haven't really used him in the receiving game a whole heck of a lot. Cool. It just seems like there's a lot of holes in his game. And this is year 3 for him. So he could come out, he could be improved. He could be like, all right, I know I'm going to be 1B. The team has raved about him, so maybe he has taken a step forward. But I don't know. I mean, when you bring back a guy with 2 torn Achilles, I know he recovered very quickly from one. I mean, this one, he's going to have a little bit longer time to recover from. Like, it just doesn't scream needle mover for me. Like, uh-oh, Ty Chandler better watch his job. No. But it does send something to the staff that they're not comfortable, you know, just with Aaron Jones and Ty Chandler. I think it says more about Dwayne McBride, who he's been at the facility. He's been working hard. He was there during rookie camp, but at the same time, the Vikings, you know, they need depth at the running back position, even though running backs don't matter and we throw them all over the place, still need somebody that can open things up for you on the ground. And, I don't know if Cam Akers is that guy, but you know, if anything, you bring him to camp. If he's washed, you say, hey, thanks, man. Thank you for getting ready. We just don't have a spot for you.
Would you rather, it's just a hypothetical. Would you rather have the Vikings sign Cam Akers or Dalvin Cook?
Oh man. I don't like bringing
both number fours from Florida State.
Yeah. I don't like bringing guys back though. Mm-hmm. Like after you've let them go, like
you don't like when they brought
Zeke Shamar Elliott back to Dallas.
Shamar Stephen
back. Oh, Minnesota. Shamar Stephen, yeah, the real deal. Shamar Stephen, yes. No, I just like it would be the same thing. Like if Adam Thielen came back, right? Like just walks in the room, like, which hey, I know. My wife said I was really upset about the opportunities, but here I am.
And JJ can throw. He can throw that ball.
Yeah, he can throw. I saw what he could do. Hey, JJ, you want to go to Texas Roadhouse? I just I don't want to bring back pieces from that old not that Dalvin right. Cook was a bad teammate or anything. I don't want to say that, but like bringing pieces back from that Zimmer era that was so toxic at the end. Yeah. I don't want that in this locker room now. I kind of want to turn the page. I know Cam Akers isn't like a rock solid thing, but I mean, I don't know. Dalvin Cook wasn't willing to accept a backup role last year. Why would he accept a third string role this year? Because he would be playing behind, Jones and Chandler.
You talked to Collar last episode about, you know, are we officially in the Kevin O'Connell era? Because pretty much everyone but like Harrison Smith and I don't know, Brian O'Neill and Darisaw, Justin Jefferson, like everyone else is kind of new regime. For this Vikings team, there's some other people that are left as well, but like a lot of the players that are on the roster now were brought in by Kwesi and Kevin O'Connell. So yeah, bringing back someone like Dalvin Cook would probably maybe be a step back where Cam Akers is more of that kind of, I guess you could say, new breed, even though he's not really new. He's still a veteran. But yeah, just. I understand that point, and I totally agree with it because, you know, bring back other people like Anthony Barr last year was fine. He was never someone I felt like that was ever like a distraction or a disruption, and he just wanted to play football. And he liked Minnesota, and everyone liked him when he was there. And that was fine. So yeah, someone with a little more, I don't know, more spotlight like a Dalvin Cook or Adam Thielen, I think, yeah, that might be a step in the wrong direction, but you never know. You never know what happened.
I had a joke, but I'm going to stay away from it right now. Let's just move on. Next up. Wednesday, Justin Jefferson will star in Receiver, Netflix docuseries. Got to look at my notes here to remember who's all in it. But debuts on Wednesday, features Justin Jefferson along with Amon-Ra St. Brown, George Kittle, who is a tight end, but whatever, Davante Adams, and Deebo Samuel.
Receiving tight end.
Yeah, pretty much. I talked to Tom Schreier about this. Hey, what do you expect? What are you expecting from receiver, and what do you want to see?
I want to see how Justin Jefferson dealt with injury behind the scenes, because we all saw, you know, on the sideline, you know, rah-rah and everybody, and then on the field as well. But we didn't get to see how he was, like, truly feeling, because this is last year's injury was legitimately, like, the first time he's ever missed a game in the NFL because of injury. And even dating back to college, he wasn't really injured either. So this was, like, kind of like a brand new experience for him. So I'm curious to see how he handled it. And, you know, just to see how he dealt with the team struggles as well. And maybe, I don't know what they're going to show in terms of, you know, the offseason stuff too. Maybe are they going to show his reaction to Kirk Cousins leaving? Are they going to show his reaction to the Vikings drafting JJ McCarthy? I don't know how far along they'll go with that stuff, but it'll be interesting to see. With Deebo and Kittle, they went to the Super Bowl. So that'll be interesting to see. And Deebo had, I think he has some contract stuff leading in the season. So I don't know if they'll include that. Davante Adams, he went through a coaching change with Josh McDaniels getting fired in the middle of the season. And then Antonio Pierce stepping up. So that'd be interesting to see how maybe the differences in between his personality and the whole team as well after that happened. And then, you know, Amon-Ra St. Brown, he's with the Lions. And they had a generational type season in Detroit that hasn't happened in, I don't know, 30, 40 years. So it'll be kind of cool to see, you know, the behind the scenes of all that stuff happening in Detroit as well, even though I don't like the Lions, but still, you know, it's still kind of cool to see that stuff.
Yeah. I mean, you know, from a Jefferson standpoint, you know, it's interesting because I wrote about this for Zone Coverage this morning that Justin Jefferson, he's like the Mahomes of this documentary. Yeah. Like, yeah, you know, Pat Mahomes was there, and like last year, like nobody thought, oh, well, this won't do anything for Mahomes. We'll just see what Mahomes is like. And then everybody kind of hated him by the end because, you know, and there may have been a singer involved that also may have turned everyone against Chiefs, but I won't go there. You know, what am I trying to say? Like Jefferson could wind up being even more of a fan favorite after this, because it won't be the same rub as Kirk, who, you know, a lot of people didn't really know him off the field, but like, people know who Justin Jefferson is. People know the gritty and everything else, but I think they're going to show him the work that he puts in off the field, what he does to get ready. You know, Judd Zolgad of Purple Daily made a good point that, you know, when players got hurt, or in Marcus Mariota's case, quit the team during quarterback, they stopped showing them. Hopefully that doesn't happen to Justin Jefferson, because
I don't think it will.
No, I think the first thing I'm interested in is how much of the contract negotiation stuff will they show from the beginning of last year when they say you got incredibly close. Like, you know, I'm not expecting them to go into the negotiating room, which would be freaking awesome. But, you know, maybe he goes in there and like we see how much did things play into account, or was it brought up at all? I would lean towards the latter, probably. His recovery from his hamstring injury. Mm-hmm. Like, remember, there are two games where we were kind of waiting, like, they're going to bring him back against Denver. They're going to bring him back against the Bears.
Right.
It didn't really happen.
And then he got hurt his first game back.
Exactly. The hospital ball thing. Yeah. You know, and just like the whole season in general, like last season with Kirk getting hurt and everything else, you know, I think Amon-Ra St. Brown's going to be like the biggest guy that turns Kirk into a villain here.
Oh, villain?
No, the Mahomes thing. Because really? I mean, I think people have seen him in Hard Knocks with his dad and his brothers who are like cyborgs. Yeah. And his mother only talks to him in German.
Is his dad like a bodybuilder or something?
Yeah, yeah. He's like, oh, I'm thirsty. Swallow your spit. You got spit? Swallow it. I'm so into fitness. I used to be Mr. Universe. Like,
didn't he say like he looked for a spouse or whatever that like was an athlete so he could have athletic kids? I think I remember that part as well.
I do remember something weird about that. Yeah. Like they wanted to breed super freaks. And
that's a good way to approach life.
Yeah, I don't know. Well, it worked out. Like all three of them went to college. Two of them are in the NFL. Although there's one at Stanford, right? Or maybe they're not at Stanford anymore. I don't know. I feel like I'm going down a very slippery slope here.
I'm surprised because I feel like maybe
Adams Lyons could be the villain too.
Yeah, like, he could
with what happened there.
I think because there was some stuff before the season last year where like Davante Adams was kind of speaking out and saying how he was pissed about them getting rid of Derek Carr, kind of maybe hinting at, oh yeah, I'd love to play with Aaron Rodgers again. And it's like, what? I think Kittle's going to be probably not like it's weird because he's like already, people already are very familiar with him and know he's like in the limelight, but I feel like he's going to be even bigger after this just because of his personality. Debo, I don't know. I think he's a quiet person, so I don't really know what to expect from him. I just think it'll be cool to see, not cool for Niners fans, but like in that Super Bowl again, you know, having the lead and then losing it again, to see, you know, their reactions afterwards. I don't think I would be very surprised if we were seeing anything negotiation contract related to Justin Jefferson until like the very end. Cause I think the team and maybe Justin Jefferson has some say in like what goes up, like final cut wise. Have you seen the Hard Knocks, the Giants one, the front office?
I just heard there was one today.
Oh, there's one. Like, there's one. No, it's tomorrow. The second episode.
No. I heard that they were doing this today. Oh. Like my editor at Zone, Tom Schreier, who friend of the show, he's like, yeah, like this thing's going on. I'm like, what? Yeah. So
it's done really well. It's very good put together and everything. But like to see, I kind of feel like this might be the only one that never happens because they're talking about, you know, who they can, the Giants are talking about who they can, you know, sign, how much they should. You know, they're talking about Saquon, like, oh, he's not going to get $20 million on the market or whatever. Like, he's going to go out there, see what his market is, and then come back to us. And that, like, sounds super cocky. And then that didn't happen, so it makes him look even worse. But, there's, like, the GM of the Giants was saying, like, oh, Patrick Mahomes couldn't survive behind our offensive line. And I'm thinking, like, if I'm on offensive lineman on the Giants watching this, I would be fucking pissed. Like, okay. It's just, it's stuff like that where it's like, it's in theory, this show sounds like a great idea, but I'd be surprised if there's another season of this afterwards. I think it's a little too behind the scenes where some teams are like, we like to, you know, keep the stuff in the office, but you know, the Giants wanted to do it. So I guess whatever.
Like, I don't know. It'll be like the clip I saw was, this is on Daniel Jones. I'm just thinking, man, if Brian Flores just throws him around like a ragdoll on week one,
right?
I
think maybe one of the coolest parts of it was there was a clip of the Giants GM, I think it's Joe Shane or whatever. he was at the Senior Bowl and he was standing next to the new Panthers GM, which is Dan Morgan, I think. He used to be a linebacker for the Panthers too.
Sounds about right.
And they were just standing there watching the players practice at the Senior Bowl and being like, hey, you want Brian Burns for like first round pick and whatever? And Giants GM was like, yeah, we'll think about it. And so like, I'm like, that's how this stuff gets started. You just stand there on this on practice field and like, you're just like, hey, you want this guy? Yeah, sure.
It's like a fantasy football trade. Just, pretty hey, much. I got Justin Jefferson. Give me two firsts for him. Okay.
Yeah. But yeah, and then, you know, obviously the combine stuff, obviously in the steakhouses happens as well. And also in the stadium, but I just thought it was funny. I'm like, it's that simple. Like he talked to the Bills GM. He was like, hey, you wanted to get Brian Burns and Brandon Bean. Is it Brandon Bean? Yeah.
Brandon Bean. He want to like, say Billy Bean for Moneyball.
Yes. He was like, we don't have any money. We don't have anything. We can't afford to get Brian Burns. And that happened because the Bills cut everybody and traded everybody. I just thought that was interesting. So yeah, stuff like that, I always find interesting, like trying to think of like one of the most interesting things about Kirk Cousins last year. I think some of those moments from his season on quarterback where like it was the Bills game and it was the Colts game. You're kind of wondering like what he's going through on the sideline. And we got to see a lot of Kevin O'Connell kind of going up to him and being like, dude, it's okay. Like we got to see a lot of their like relationship. And I totally forgot about the whole Kirk Cousins getting injured thing. And I'll be very curious to see how like that's shown in this show. It's not a receiver, obviously, but it's quarterback's a big part of, you know, how a receiver makes a living. Obviously.
Here's something I just thought of. Like, how much will we see Keenan McCardle in this?
Yeah.
The Vikings receivers coach.
Probably a lot.
Because Justin Jefferson has a very strong relationship with him. Yep. And I mean, a former Pro Bowl receiver, he might pop in with a little nugget or two.
And he wants to be an OC.
Correct. I also like the fact they're bringing Kittle in. Now I think, because I mean, it adds a little different wrinkle with the tight end because they do catch passes, but they also block. They also do other stuff. So I want to know if they do something George Kittle wrestling related, which is.
Was he? He wasn't at WrestleMania this year. Well, he was probably watching.
Not last year. He was part of it in LA. I think the Niners said, no more of that shit. We're not doing this.
I know he was there in Philly, but he wasn't.
Oh, yeah. Yeah, because he got booed. He was there to cheer on Bailey, who's a 49ers super fan. But yeah.
And Cody Rhodes and Roman Reigns.
Naturally.
Oh, is Roman? I think the Usos are from San Francisco, too.
They are. Yeah. But sorry. I turned this thing on Do Not Disturb, and it's still lighting me up. So I better go put out some fires here. But yeah. Once again, you know, if you missed us at the beginning of the show, you're probably like, why are they talking about, you know, we talked about Kyrie Jackson at the beginning of the show, gave our condolences to all three who did die in that crash, because it's a very sad situation. And, you know, hopefully, you know, everybody can remember Kyrie and move on. I mean, it's kind of what you have to do in life.
We'll be talking about it for a while. I'm sure the team will do something. I don't know if they'll wear a decal or anything like that. That'd be nice if they did, but I saw the Twins. They did a moment of silence either yesterday or today for Kyrie Jackson. So we'll be talking about it for a while, and it's gonna suck every time. So not just because it's a shitty situation, just like it sucks when someone's life, three people's lives are taken away, you know, like that, who have a lot of life in front of them. It's never enjoyable. So
well. What's going on at the Viking Age?
We'll be keeping tabs on what's going on with the investigation with Kyrie Jackson, because that's still ongoing. I believe Star Tribune posted today that the prosecutors are trying to do, you know, figure things out quickly. But, you know, also just waiting for the evidence and everything, see if they're going to press charges against the driver who hit Kyrie and other two people who passed away. And then we'll just keep up with some Vikings news, cover everything that's going on with receiver. There's going to be a lot of Justin Jefferson stuff this week. People might get sick of him because he's just going to probably be everywhere. And that's just not on the Viking Age. It's going to just be everywhere. And the good thing about the Netflix series is that it all comes out at once. So you don't have to wait like, oh, there's two episodes this week and we got to wait for next week.
I almost don't like that though, because have people like, there are some people who, like me, I'm like, okay, I've watched two episodes of this. I've had enough. I need a mental break. Then there are people who are like, it came out at midnight and I watched it all last night and I saw everything. Did you see at the very end when blah, 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 blah? dude, shut up. Like, God, I already hate the fact I have to watch this in a week. Like, calm down. Yeah. Like,
that's me. I don't even have Netflix, but I did have Netflix, but.
Well, you'll have it next January. Zra's coming to Netflix.
Yes, I will have to get that. You're right.
And apparently it's going to be like glorious.
John Cena's like, retirement run.
John Cena F-bombs everywhere. Maybe they'll call it the FU again. I don't know. That would be an excellent touch.
Yeah. So, yeah, just go check out thevikingage.com. We'll have all your needs for the Vikings from everything. Follow me, Adam Patrick NFL, on Twitter and Threads. Oh, sorry, X and Threads.
Well, you can follow me at The Real Chris Shad. I'm on X and Instagram, the main two. I have a Threads, too, but I don't know. For everybody saying it was going to take over the world.
I think there's 175 million on there.
There's still people, but
yeah.
I don't know. It's like people.
It's the first year. First year of Twitter sucked too.
Yeah, I suppose.
Twitter is garbage. Well, was.
Was. What are you talking about? It is garbage. It's the scum of the earth, but
it's pretty bad.
Anyway, on that note, that's all the time we have for the Viking Age today. We do this every Monday with a late week episode right here on the Viking Age YouTube channel. We are in podcast form on Apple and Spotify the very next day, but however you consume us, make sure you rate, comment, like, and subscribe so you never miss a new episode and we can spread the word to the masses. For Adam Patrick, I am Chris Shad. This has been the Viking Age Podcast.
Driving plays a big part in driving the local economy. It helps us all get where we're going and creates good jobs close to home. At Synovus Energy, our refineries in Toledo and Lima are a reliable domestic source of gasoline, diesel, and jet fuel. Plus, more than 2,300 employees and contractors work for us here in Ohio. See how we're helping local communities move forward at synovus.com.